There's good news in the global fight against landmines. The use of anti-personnel mines are down, and funding for mine clearance and assistance to survivors of mine blasts is up. That's according to the latest report by the International Campaign to Ban Landmines. Judith Smelzer reports.
Each year, anywhere between 15 and 26,000 people fall victim to anti-personnel landmines, like this one set off at a demonstration at a U.S. Army base. A global campaign is now underway to stop the production and deployment of these weapons and to clear minefields all over the world. For the past 5 years, a core group of organizations involved in the fight has put out a report on the status of their efforts. This year, the news was encouraging.
We recorded a decrease in use by governments and non-state actors over the past year. This was really good news.
Mary Wareham is a senior advocate in the Arms Division of Human Rights Watch. She was the global coordinator for the report.
At the moment, we believe that there's only two governments using anti-personnel mines. That is Russia and Myanmar/Burma.
In addition to those two countries that are believed to be actively planting landmines, Wareham says just four other governments used mines in the past year. The total of six governments using anti-personnel mines is down from nine listed in the 2002 report and 13 the year before. In addition, 4 million landmines have been removed from national stockpiles and destroyed in the past year, and funding for mine clearance efforts has increased. Mary Wareham says the U.S. is doing its part.
In terms of mine clearance, the United States is leading the world. It's still giving the most money to humanitarian mine action around the world. In 2002, it provided approximately $77 million for mine clearance in 37 countries around the world, and that's more than any of the other donors managed to give. But it still represents a slight decrease on previous year's funding.
The anti-mine movement is also frustrated by Washington's continued refusal to sign on to the 1997 Mine Ban Treaty, despite the fact that the U.S. is in compliance with most of its provisions. Dr. James Carafano of the Conservative Heritage Foundation says that should be enough.
We need to focus on the practical effects we're trying to achieve, which is get a lot of this stuff off the street, minimize the danger to civilians, you know, aggressively demine where we can, keep people out of the mine business when we can. I mean, so we need to focus on the real measures of effectiveness. Whether somebody signs that piece of paper or not, in the long term of history, is not really going to be a value of our success or not.
But Mary Wareham says the U.S. should sign that piece of paper as a means of pressuring other countries to do the same.
Some of these governments do not listen to civil society. They do not listen to the small and medium-sized governments that have already joined the treaty. They only listen to the United States. And these governments are countries like India and Pakistan, China and Russia. Unfortunately, it's some of the big guys, the big players, the big producers, stockpilers, users of the weapon.
Washington's reluctance appears to be due mainly to the fact that the Pentagon considers landmines to be a key method of defense along the border between North and South Korea. Again, James Carafano.
The size of the North Korean army, which the really constricted terrain, those kind of things really lend themselves to the use of mines. And the fact that there's no civilians there. I mean, the odds of somebody, you know, straying over there and getting hurt in these mines is really not very good. And so basically what it does is it allows you to compensate for the numerical advantages on the other side.
Dr. Carafano served in Korea during part of his 25 years in the U.S. Army. But he believes ultimately the eradication of landmines around the world will be in the United States' interest, since so many actors use the weapons irresponsibly. He also says that because of America's overwhelming military power, the U.S. will not put itself at a disadvantage by giving up what is essentially a defensive weapon. The Pentagon initiated a review of U.S. landmine policy in 2001. That review is still underway. Mary Wareham with Human Rights Watch hopes the delay means serious debate is going on about how to proceed and about the possible negative consequences of disregarding the mine ban treaty. Meanwhile, she and her fellow campaigners are happy with the encouraging trends uncovered in the latest report. But she notes that landmine casualties continue to rise, even in places most people don't realize are affected by the weapon.
everybody's heard about the problem in Cambodia and Afghanistan and Angola, the traditionally the big countries affected by mines. They do not know, however, as much about the impact that this weapon is causing on civilian populations in Chechnya, in Colombia, in Burma.
Wareham says her group will continue its efforts to highlight places where the battle against landmines has yet to be won, and will urge continued action to ensure that today's positive trends continue into the future. For Common Ground, I'm Judith Smelser in Washington.